Well, how many of you shouted today?
Did you hear? When we
did
at dinner, nobody said anything.
No, the dinner table is wonderful. I think we ought to give you people a hand or something like that. Yay, God. Go for it. Little enthusiasm, little life, little warmth, little love. Thanks for letting us show you that video. I saw it just a couple of weeks ago. It's brand new. And I thought, oh, that communicates the vision. It's life on life. That's what we're talking about tonight. Nehemiah, the task, the mission, the vision. And in spite of a lot of opposition, in spite of the fact that in the world you shall have tribulation, and it was true 1,000 years before Christ, as well as in our day and age, ever since the Lord Jesus has said it. Ruth is a book of relationships. Where you go, I go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. There was a bonding, an authentic love between Ruth and Naomi. And God used this young Moabite lady to become the great grandfather of David and eventually the line of Jesus Christ himself. And then Ezra committed to truth, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. If we're going to order our private world, we're going to deal with relationships in a healthy way. We're going to deal with truth in a healthy way because truth is. And now there's a task. If we only have relationships and truth, we have this little holy huddle, this little evangelical ghetto, this little benign tumor in the community. If you only have truth and the task, then it's kind of harsh and we become taskmasters. And we don't really care for people. If we only have the task and relationships, we end up with a cult because it's not based upon truth. Nehemiah. So let's take a look at Nehemiah. The focus of Ezra is the temple, that is the truth, defining the truth. The focus of Nehemiah is the wall, defending the truth. Now in the Old Testament, truth had to be defended by a wall. But the New Testament, everything changes. Truth is defended by a loving outreach, not a fortress mentality. When I was a college kid, I sang in a quartet in our church, and we used to sing this little jivey quartet number, which is kind of bouncy, absolutely abominable theology, but that's probably all we knew at the time. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signal still, wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. You know, it had a cute little melody, and in the quartet it was fun, but the thinking is terrible. Hold the fort. Now, nonsense. There is no fort. Now we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. We're out there. That was the beauty of that video. Some of you know some of those folks. And they're out there. They're playing basketball. They're in the OR. They're on the campus. They're life on life. And we defend the truth by reaching out and embracing people who have been wounded and blinded and hurt. In the Old Testament, truth was engraved in stone. In the New Testament, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If there's any verse in the whole Bible that you want to get your hand on as far as what is ministry all about, it's 1 John 1:1. John says, we heard him, and then we saw him, and then we gazed upon him, and our hands handled the word of life. You're going to have to let people handle you, not in any improper way at all. But unless you let people handle you, you'll never be an instrument of grace You'll never be a change agent in somebody else's life. And that goes against our culture. We ain't going to stay out there. You know, we go through life, even when we jog in public, we got the Walkman, you know. We go through life with a capsule around us. And Jesus Christ came and John said, we got our hands on life. That's what this is all about. Chapter 1 is a confession of sin. Chapter 2 is a commitment to the sovereignty of God. And then he was given permission to go and build a wall. And he ran into six things. And so often what happens is that you and I set out to do something. We're going to help someone come to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. Or we're going to help somebody who knows the Lord Jesus begin to grow and enjoy that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we get hit and hit and hit. We say, okay, that's it. This must not be for me. It must be for the gurus, the pros. It must be for somebody else. But ministry is not for me. That's the wrong conclusion. Very briefly, because I know the ice cream downstairs and you'll be ready in about 20 or 30 minutes. And you're all starving. You've hardly eaten anything all day today. No, two more days of this, I would be taller if I fell over. I just. Good grief. He ran into scorn. They jeered, made light of us, fun of us. They insulted us, they mocked us. What was Nehemiah's response? We will build. We will build. Total commitment to the mission. God has sent me to build this wall. And in spite of the jeering and the mockery and all of that, standing back and making fun, we're going to build. Years ago, the Lord impressed upon my heart John 17:4 and said, that's for you. That's what I want to say to God the night before I die. I glorified you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Now, the next day he cried out, it is finished. That was redemption. John 17 with 12 men. He loved the world, helped thousands. Disciple 12. He was a young man. I'm playing the whole game for my memorial service and for the judgment seat of Christ. All that really matters is what will my kids say and my friends at my funeral, and what will Jesus Christ say when I stand before him. You know, I sat there and wept 3 months ago at Rick Raspan's funeral because how old is Megan? 11. And Allison is 9. And they stood up and read letters. I think half the medical community of Denver was there. I don't know how many hundred physicians were at that memorial service, and that church was absolutely packed. People coming to honor Rick and to show their love for Gail and Megan and Allison, reading letters of what Dad meant to them. He finished well. He glorified Jesus Christ on the earth. He finished the work God gave him to do. He went at age 44. What are you going to say to God the night before you die? I thank you for the 7,000 procedures I did. Ah! I thank you for the 8 billion prescriptions I wrote out. Well, good. Thank God for the procedures and the prescription. But invest your life in people. Medicine is your contribution to society, whereby you earn enough money to do the ministry God has laid upon your heart. Then there was verbal abuse. So they were angry, created a disturbance. So he said, okay, carry a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. We'll build with one hand and we'll carry a sword in the other. For you and me, it's a Bible in one hand, a stethoscope in the other. It's both and. You make tents. You care for people. You bring healing to their lives. And you share. Several months ago, Grogan told me, Doug Grogan, he over here, what, $300 to $400 a month now? It's, where's Grogan? Is he still, you wake? It's, I asked him this afternoon, it's, wake up, Doug. It's now up to $1,000 a month in literature that he gives to his patients to help point them to Jesus Christ, to plant a seed, low-key, loving, gentle, relational, effective. You do it your way, but do it. So after scorn and verbal abuse, greed on the part of coworkers. Now, you probably don't run into this in your practice. They had to sell their kids into slavery in order to pay the debts. And he confronted them. Covetousness is idolatry. Now, all of us are familiar with Deuteronomy 17, the three basic problems of men, power, money, and sex, male PMS. It'll be with us. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Pardon me? You take a note. Colossians 3 says covetousness is idolatry. And we have to deal with covetousness. Now, I don't know what you earn. It's none of my business, and it's probably the will of God, and undoubtedly you're not getting what you deserve. But keep thy heart with all diligence. Solomon said it. Keep your heart. Watch out for envy, covetousness, greed. It's insidious. Now, pride is the AIDS virus in the body of Christ. We're all HIV positive. The opportunistic diseases are money, sex, and power. But keep your heart. So the fourth thing the enemy did was found in Nehemiah 6, invitation to join another committee. Now, in all fairness, for the sake of being ethical and balanced and honest, some committees may actually be the will of God for you. Okay. But it wasn't, at least this particular committee for Nehemiah. And he said, I've got more important things to do. I'm going to operate on the basis of priorities. And one of the reasons we talked about time alone with God today is just to sort your way through priorities. And hopefully in a month or two, you'll get another half day with God. And later in the spring, another half day with God. And don't wait till next year's conference to get another afternoon alone with God. When you go home, set it aside. And then you guys commit yourself to keep the kids and take them playing and let your wife get a half day alone with God. and not come home to a house full of dirty dishes and laundry all over the place. Amen. That's it. I'm going to have 50% of this conference going to be my friend after this thing. So, take a long, hard look at committees. Some Christian's life verse is, committee thy way unto the Lord. And it just... it just doesn't work. Someone said, for God so loved the world, he did not send a committee. He sent his son. And then the fifth thing they ran into was slander. You know it as unsubstantiated malpractice lawsuits. A lie. Well, you plan to rebel, make yourself the king. And he just said, your statement is a lie. Lord, help me. You probably need both prayer and a good lawyer, but that's okay. Years ago, I memorized Isaiah 54:17 because slander would come my way. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Claim it. Pray it. Trust God to watch over it. Be competent. You'll probably be sued anyway. But be prayerful. Be prayerful. Not vindictive, not vengeance, not angry, prayerful. Then he ran into unwise counsel. Somebody said, well, let's go hide in the temple. They're out to get you. And then he said, I'm not going to go hide. Should a man in my position flee? Courage. Now, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage has a perfect sensibility of the level of danger and a mental willingness to endure. Be courageous. Press. Stay with it. Nehemiah never lost sight of the objective. He built the wall. In the world you shall have tribulation. That's a promise. In the practice of medicine, you shall have tribulation. In the upheaval, in the whole health care system today, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I am with you. I know who you are, and I know where you are, and I know what you're going through, and I'm in control. I am behind the scenes. I am working. Smile. Smile. Be of good cheer. Some of you, if you walk into the Doc's Lounge and smile, we'll put everybody in shock. Why are you smiling? Because Jesus has overcome the world. Now, you may not say that, but that's what's in your heart. Maybe you should. Yeah. Gustavo, está bien que decimos eso. Great. If you want to go to heaven, you have to learn Spanish. Some of you are going to spend time in the anteroom. Now look at these commands. As you go, make disciples. He didn't say pray about it. He didn't say, I know you're too busy. I know you're working 80 hours a week. I know your call schedule is absolutely unrelenting. He said, as you go, make disciples. One-on-one, life-on-life, your way, your style. Help people in their relationship with God. That's what life is all about. Now, a disciple is someone who continues in the Word of God, walks in love, and bears fruit. That's John 8, John 13, and John 15. Now, you can do that. You can help people spend time in the Bible. You can just say, let's read this paragraph together. Let's pray over this paragraph. Just sit down with someone in a quiet place and read a few verses and say, Lord, help us live out these verses in our life today. That's discipling. Then you're walking in love and you're washing other people's dirty feet. That means their heartaches and their problems. That's discipling. You're bearing fruit in terms of Christ-likeness of your own character and influence in the lives of people. That's Christ-likeness. That's discipleship. Be my witnesses. Well, what is a witness? A witness tells somebody else what he has seen and heard. And that's what the Bible says. That which you have seen and heard, declare, share, articulate. Jam it down their throat? No. We're not talking about hammering in. You can't crowbar people into heaven. Christians are a volunteer army. There are no draftees in heaven. Everybody volunteers for heaven. But they have to know. Years ago, when Dr. Billy Graham was first beginning his crusades, in Seattle, there were two men who owned a clothing store. And one of them was an elder in a very prominent church in the city. And these two men were in business for 30 years together. And when Dr. Graham came to town and shared the good news of Jesus Christ, the other businessman gave his heart to Christ. He passed from death unto life. He heard the gospel and believed and was born again. And he came back to his partner and he said, how long have we been in business? And he said, oh, probably about 30 years. He said, you know, I became a Christian at Dr. Graham's meeting the other night. And the elder said, I heard about it. I am absolutely delighted. He said, have you been a Christian all these 30 years that we've been partners? The elder said, yes. He said, you know, I thought if a man could be as good as you and not be a Christian, I didn't have to be one either. Now, did this man live a good life? Yes. Was he admired by his partner? Yes. Had he ever said anything? No. And 30 years later, the other man comes to Christ, never having heard about Jesus Christ from his friend. It's both and. Now, if you don't want to live the life, then shut up. But live the life and share. You shall be my witness. Paul said the same thing at the end of his life that Jesus said. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. The other side of the coin is the story in Matthew 25 where the servant says to the master, well, here's your talent. I went and buried it. Now you've come back, so here it is. And he said, you're wicked. Irresponsible servant. And the man suffered great loss because he took the treasure God had given him and hid it and didn't invest it. Best defense is good offense. Loving, gracious, wise, sensitive offense. Speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. You're going to have all of this scorn and all of this invitation to join a committee and all this other stuff. Work your way through it. Don't lose sight of the objective. go make disciples. In what areas? In your own marriage? Are you helping your spouse in his or her walk with Christ? Your family? Are you creating the environment? Remember what we said yesterday in the seminar or whatever day it was? You know, faith, but then lots of fun. Fun. Absolutely vital for discipleship. Camping and fishing and hanging out and being fun to be around. That was a great skit. You touched on just about every mistake we've made. I hope the result of this weekend is that some of you are just more fun to be around. You're more pleasant to live with. It's really okay. You create the environment. The kids say, hey, this is good stuff. And in medicine, just get with some other believer and start praying for all the other physicians in your group. Effectual, fervent prayer for the other physicians and the other people, the nurses and the technicians. Prayer. God may not use you. He may use someone else. But it was your prayer. Or He may use you. The Lord may look around and say, good grief, there's nobody else here to use. And then other ministries. That's okay. But don't lose your focus. And I have really been hit in recent months with this verse in John 9:4. Work. The night is coming when no man can work. That's sobering. I don't know what that means. If it's a health night, or if it's a political change night, or if it's a financial night, I don't know what the night means. But Jesus said, the night cometh. And while it is day, focus on the task God has called you to do. Help other people come to know and love and walk with Jesus Christ. Didn't pause for questions on the way through. Can I take a minute now? Where's Greg? See if anybody has a comment, and we'll pray and thank God for the ice cream. Have I communicated clearly? Okay. Yes, ma'am. John 8, verses 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. And John 13, verses 34 and 35, walk in love. And then John 15, verse 7 or 8, I got to take that navigator course. Bear fruit. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Rick?
I'm getting the impression that these are very special times we're living in. In Russia recently, we've seen an unprecedented spiritual hunger. And now, in the Muslim world, in places like India, there's just almost an explosion of people wanting to know about Jesus, and the Jesus film is being circulated in countries where you never would have thought it was possible, and I think even in our own. There's a gradual spiritual awakening. So, and I think that God has just. It's just preparing us for, a time.
We have a window of opportunity. You're absolutely right. But how long? We don't know. But let's take advantage of it while we have it. Right on. Amen. And in China. You know, in China in 48, all the missionaries were exiled and all the pastors were put in prison. And there were probably, about 4 million Christians? And after putting all the pastors in jail and getting rid of all the missionaries, the church went from 4 million to 75 million. You know, one-on-one, life-on-life, loving people into the family. Yeah, that's exciting. And it's still happening. All right, anything else? Great. Well, let's give thanks and break for fellowship. Lord, give us the grace to be like Ruth and to enter into authentic friendships, lifelong friendships, with love and caring and mutual accountability, to do it sensitively and wisely and prayerfully and with good advice. Give us the grace to be like Ezra, who prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to obey it, and then to teach. Give us the grace to be like Nehemiah, who had all kinds of scorn and verbal abuse and slander and other insidious enemy attacks, and who built the wall. Lord, some of us really need to be a Timothy, a learner. Lead us to some man or woman or couple who can nurture us and help us. And so many of us have so much, and we're ready to be a spiritual Paul. Give us the grace to invest our life in one other person in such a way that when the time comes, we may say with Jesus, I glorified you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. The night cometh. Lord, help us get home before dark. In Jesus' name, amen.